This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 in Nanaimo.
On Wednesday, July 29th, an Aboriginal man appeared to be sleeping in Vancouver's Grandview Park. It was the hottest day of the summer, and the park was filled with people. Curtis Brick had been drinking alcohol earlier in the day and ended up lying in the direct sun for over 6 hours. Bypassers eventually intervened by calling 911. And emergency personnel arrived, but Curtis Brick died later that day. Now Aboriginal leaders and advocates are calling for a coroner's inquest into the circumstances surrounding the death of Curtis Brick, a man who happened to be Aboriginal and homeless. We're joined on the line by Christine Smith-Parnell, the Executive Director of Vancouver Aboriginal Transformative Justice Services. Welcome to People First Radio, Christine.
Thank you for having me on the show today.
Christine, tell us more about the circumstances surrounding Curtis Brick's death.
Well, it happened on July 29th, and the reason that it was a little bit of a delay is I was away on holidays, and upon my return, I got a note from one of my employees explaining exactly what happened that day, and I was rather appalled by on many levels as to what happened. One is that Curtis was sitting in a park and was visibly in distress and died of heat stroke eventually, and that people walked right by him and didn't help him at all. It wasn't until, as you guys probably know, a well-known actor, Eric Schwig, had seen him that morning and had come back later on that day and still seen him laying in the same position. And it was really apparent that he was in distress. So he went over and immediately started helping and called one of our staff up. And one of our staff attended. They began to wet him down. They first called Safe Ride, which is an organization that helps in terms of rather than calling the police or an ambulance. And they weren't sure whether he needed either or. So Safe Ride said they would call 911 as well. And then when nobody arrived in 20 minutes, they called 911 themselves directly and called for help. So help eventually arrived. The fire department first arrived on scene, and Eric went up and gave him a kind of update as to what happened and what he's been doing for the last 20-30 minutes, and said he knows that he got out of him that he was drinking that morning, and he's pretty sure it was probably something like Lysol or Listerine. And so at that point, the fireman had made a comment about, well, that's what he gets for drinking Lysol all day. And then proceeded to walk over to Mr. Brick. The other fireman had kind of nudged his leg and told him to get up, at which point our staff told him, we've been here for a half an hour. He's not getting up. He's really in distress. And then, you know, they waited for the ambulance to arrive, and the only thing that was done to Mr. Brick at that time was putting an oxygen mask on him. And it was the nonchalantness of, this is an emergency situation. This guy is clearly, his life is in jeopardy. And it was very casual. He kind of put him on the board, didn't really do nothing with him, put him in the ambulance, no lights, no nothing, no emergency, and just drove off.
Christine, you mentioned Eric Schwig, an Aboriginal actor who was in the park that day. Now, he told the Vancouver Province newspaper, quote, this sort of thing happens in the desert, not in Grandview Park, unquote. Tell us more about the reactions or the non-reactions of people in the park.
I don't really like to point fingers, and I think it's just about bringing to question as to, if you see somebody in distress, please call 911 and don't make the judgment yourself as to whether this person is having an overdose or a reaction. So I think that it was really disturbing to us that he sat in that park, and when Eric came into contact with him, he was clearly in distress. There was medical things, there was foam coming out of his mouth. It wasn't no question that he was in distress. So it was really sad that he's right. This doesn't happen, you know, in Canada, unless, unfortunately, we feel that unless you're an Aboriginal person, and unless you're homeless, you know, people don't check on that. So ours was one couple of folds, is to try to bring attention to that, you know, our people have voices that they deserve to be treated with respect. And we don't feel like in this specific incident that not only from the people in the park, but that people that we called for help from treated him very well at all.
Christine, this death has raised the issue of systemic racism. Tell us more about systemic racism and how that relates to what has happened here.
Well, I think there was a couple of things. When we brought up the comments that were made and the inaction that happened with the firemen and the ambulance and how it wasn't treated as somebody's grandmother that was in distress, for example, you know, it wasn't heard very well. The coroner came and visited us and spoke with the witnesses, and I wasn't very happy with the outcome of that because there wasn't a lot of attention focused on what happened at that park. A lot of the attention was focused on, well, you know, what's in place in the Aboriginal community to help this person. So I was, you know, a bit frustrated with that process, and I don't feel that our needs are going to be met through this process. And that's why we're calling for a coroner's inquest, is because with just the coroner having the information, he or she is the only one that can look at that information. We've requested on behalf of the family that information so that we can come to the same conclusion, whatever conclusion he comes up with. And that has been denied. So, it, you know, we don't have trust because of the Frank Paul situation. And in our community, you know, this has happened to us before. And we're just expected to trust that the outcome is going to be in a just and fair way. And if there's any indication of our meeting with a coroner, we don't feel that's going to happen. And every person should be treated with respect. Every person has the right in Canada, in BC, whether you're homeless or you're Aboriginal or any of those factors, they needed to be treated with respect. And I think the most disturbing piece about this whole situation was it was after the fact that we heard that the firemen had said that they put ice packs on Curtis as soon as they arrived. They never did that. That's what they should have done, but they never did that.
We're going to be speaking with David Eby, who's the executive director of the British Columbia Civil Liberties Association, in just a few moments. Christine, we only have a moment left with you. I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd like to add before we conclude our conversation on this, at least for today.
I think there's many lessons to be learned, and we always, you know, unfortunately these tragedies happen in our community, but I think in our Aboriginal community, it's not going to be swept under the rug anymore. You know, our voices are all coming united. I was very happy to have Stuart Phillip come and step up to the plate, David Eby step up to the plate and say, this is not acceptable at any level. So I think that day has come and gone where it's going to be the treatment of our people is going to be dismissed. So I think it's going to be hopefully a great outcome. And I know that we're working closely with the Frank Paul inquiry to ensure that those changes are implemented in our community. So I think just wanting to leave you with that is that, you know, our Aboriginal people and our homeless people have a voice, and we're going to make sure with the 2010 Olympics coming that they're not treated unfairly.
Thank you very much, Christine, for taking the time to join us today.
No problem.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Christine Smith-Parnell is the executive director of Vancouver Aboriginal Transformative Justice Services. This is People First Radio. I'm Kevin. We're talking today about the tragic death of Curtis Brick, who died July 29th in Vancouver. At a news conference on August the 20th, the Union of BC Indian Chiefs and other advocacy organizations, including the BC Civil Liberties Association, called for a full and immediate coroner's inquiry into the death of Curtis Brick. UBCIC Grand Chief Stuart Phillip said, quote, "We're absolutely outraged that yet another Aboriginal man has died as a direct consequence of the failure in sensitivities of the emergency services." David Eby is the executive director of the British Columbia Civil Liberties Association. He joins us on the phone today. Welcome to People First Radio, David.
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
The BC Civil Liberties Association, along with other organizations, has called for a coroner's inquiry into Curtis Brick's death. Why was that request made?
Well, we made the request for a couple of reasons. The first is that we know that there are a lot of outstanding questions related to this death, and in particular, the behavior of the first responders who attended at the scene. Questions like how long did it take them to respond? What comments did they make when they did attend? What medical procedures did they implement when they found Mr. Brick? The community has a number of questions about that because witnesses had some concerns about that. In relation to their conduct. But more broadly, This case raises an issue of how first responders treat Aboriginal people, in particular homeless Aboriginal men, in Vancouver, because this is the third death that's known of to the community where first responders, the response of first responders was implicated in the death, and we're concerned about that. And if this kind of thing can be prevented, we'd like for that to happen.
You've mentioned a missing hour in an interview with the Tyee. Tell us more about that missing hour and whether that was the major focus for concern or one of the greatest focuses for concern.
Sure. There were a number of concerns raised by the witnesses. The witnesses were actually outreach workers. One of them was off shift, and he walked past and saw Mr. Brick lying in the direct sunlight with a towel over his face. And then came back a number of hours later, and Mr. Brick was in the same position, but he was clearly in distress. He was convulsing. So this gentleman went over to assist him, called another outreach worker who came out, and these were the witnesses. And they said that they called Safe Ride Service for a ride for Mr. Brick to get him out of the sun, to get him into a shelter. And the Safe Ride said that they were going to call 911. Well, it was more than 45 minutes between those initial calls to Safe Ride and possibly a Safe Ride call to 911, and then there was a second call to 911 that was made about 15 minutes later before the first responders arrived. So there was an issue around the response time. When the first responders arrived, the witnesses alleged that the fire department officials who arrived actually used his foot to and told Mr. Brick to get up, even though they told him that he had been convulsing, that he was frothing at the mouth, that he was in medical distress, rather than immediately applying oxygen to him and that kind of thing. There was also a concern that nothing was done to cool Mr. Brick down by the first responders. Now, the first responders had said that they applied ice packs, but the witnesses said that they did no such thing, so there's a dispute over that issue. When Mr. Brick was taken from the scene, the witnesses said that the ambulance didn't have its lights flashing, that the attendants had not hooked up any IV bags in case he was dehydrated, and that was one of the things that was affecting him. They generally felt that the responders weren't doing anything in the way of medical techniques or reacting as if it were an emergency. Between the time that he left the park in the ambulance, according to the witnesses, and the time at which he was recorded as being admitted into the intensive care unit, there was a full hour. So nobody knows what really happened during this time, but the ambulance people say that they dropped him off at the hospital a number of minutes later, and then they were done with him. We don't know what happened at the hospital end, whether he sat in triage waiting to be assessed by a nurse, whether he was immediately taken up to ICU and someone just didn't record the time properly. There's a missing hour there where he was in dire medical distress and didn't receive treatment.
Mm. David, possibly. Yes. David Eby, what has happened in terms of a response regarding the call for a full and immediate coroner's inquiry?
Well, we've been a little disappointed in the response. There's only we haven't had any answer to our letter that we sent to the coroner. But one of the organizations, Luma Native Housing, that sent a letter, there's been a number of organizations now that have called for a coroner's inquest, did receive a letter, and the coroner said, we're investigating this case. We take it seriously, but we're not going to set a date for making a decision on whether or not we're going to hold an inquest into this death. Let alone make a decision about whether or not we're going to hold an inquest. We're not even going to set a date to make our decision by. So it's a real don't call us, don't call, we'll call you kind of situation, despite the fact that the community is so outraged. In previous cases, you should know that where there is a high-profile death, for example, there was the death of a snowboarder who skied out of bounds, snowboarded out of bounds a couple winters ago, and the coroner called an inquest immediately. We're asking for similar treatment in this situation, that this is something that there is a considerable amount of concern in the community around, and that there are a number of questions about the responses of the first responders and potential systemic racism issues in terms of the treatment of homeless Aboriginal men, given that this is the third death in which the response of emergency services are implicated.
Mm. David, we have just a moment left, and I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd like to add or if you'd like to expand a little bit more on the whole systemic racism concern.
One of the comments that's attributed to, the general conduct, first of all, of the first responders is raised concern among these Aboriginal outreach workers that this was a homeless Aboriginal man who was being treated pretty crappily. But the fact that this is the third death of a homeless Aboriginal man was certainly of concern, that there's a pattern here, and the pattern relates to homeless Aboriginal men. But people who are concerned about this, who are listening to this interview, should call the coroner and should say, we need to have a coroner's inquest on the death of Curtis Brick. This is an issue that concerns me. There are lots of unanswered questions. That makes a difference. Public concern around these deaths is something that's considered by the coroner in deciding whether or not to hold a public inquest with jurors, where it's almost like a trial, compared to a paper inquiry, where they simply ask some questions and do everything behind closed doors. We want it to be open and in a courtroom-like atmosphere.
David Eby, thank you very much for joining us today to speak about this.
Well, thanks for having me, Kevin.
David Eby is the executive director of the British Columbia Civil Liberties Association. This is People First Radio.
People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centrist Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY 101.7 FM, CHLY.ca, community radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of these organizations.